Jesus, eternal Father. Lord Jesus, we are grateful, Father. We are thankful unto thee that you spared our lives to be alive again this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, ever since we have been in your house today. It's been a wonderful table that you have spread. Oh, living God, we have partook and we are blessed already. We are grateful, we are thankful unto thee. Thank you for your word, giveth life. Thank you for your word, whether it is correction, whether it is rebuke, whether it is instruction, whether it is Master, Lord, whatever it is, as your word says, Lord, it gives us life. We are grateful, we are thankful unto thee. The psalmist says, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Lord Jesus, it's because we are your children. That is why you can speak to us as a father, the main father, the heavenly father. Lord Jesus, we bless thy great holy name. We pray, Lord, that you take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord Jesus, we pray, every one of us in this auditorium, Lord, Master, make us your true worshippers, Lord. Lord Jesus, may you help us, for that is the purpose, Lord, why your word is preached. That is the purpose why you came to die for us on the cross at Calvary. That is the purpose why you ordained us and you called us, O living God. Help us, righteous eternal Father. Lord, have your way in our lives, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, to drop our crooked ways, O living God, and to go in your way, to take your way in every aspect of our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus. Give us your grace to humble our lives, to humble ourselves, Lord. Lord, may you have your way in our lives, Father. Lord Jesus, Lord, the little admonition this evening is just to hear from the prophet, Lord. Lord Jesus, keep us alive, keep us alert, O living God. Lord, let something be read to help us to live better to your glory, Heavenly Father. Take control. Blessed Holy Spirit, may you take perfect and absolute control of this evening service, Lord. Help us and see us through, Lord Jesus. Lord, at the end of the service, may we have the testimony in our hearts that, Lord, your word has blessed our souls, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We commit the service to your great holy hands, Father. Lord Jesus, we pray for your people. Lord, meet with every one of us at the point of our knees, Lord. Grant all our heart desires. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. We can have our seat for about 5 minutes while we sing this song. 180. Thou, my everlasting portion.
Ooh.
Your heart desire. God bless you. Let's stand on our feet as we read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 10 to 11. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 11. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thought that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. Let's also ask, Abraham read Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Luke 16, 16. The Lord and the prophet were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. We want to continue reading the sermon. Like I said last Wednesday, I want to read and I don't intend to pass any comments. So whatever interpretation you have to what the prophet is saying, may the Holy Ghost rather give you the right interpretation. Abraham said our eternal destination does not depend on what we see or what we have or what we hear, but the assignment of what on the assignment that we have on what we see and what we hear. May God give us the right discernment. I'm not passing any comments. I will just read. God bless you. Last Wednesday, we stopped at paragraph 51. That is desperation, 630901 here. 630901 here. We are reading together, so I will wait for them until they get there. 630901 here. Okay. We stop at paragraph this. Let's read that again before we continue. I am positive That's according to what the prophet told us. And he has the word of the Lord. Said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Take a lamp for the house. I have brought all you children in. You are my oldest, but my firstborn. That's the one that is dying all out in there. But there is the blood. That's what the Lord was. So rest, my son. Rest at ease. Because God made the promise. See? Well, daddy, why you got your shoes on? Why you got that staff in your hands? And why you have got a piece of bread in one hand and a lamb in the other hand? While is them bitter herbs and things? What are you eating it for, maybe for? Was the sweat running off your face about? Son, death is fixing to strike. See, it was in a time of desperation. That was where we stopped. So let's continue. Paragraph 52. Now, I believe that we are living in the day, or otherwise, the days that we are living in should cause the church to go completely into desperation. I believe, since the message this morning from God, that is talking, not me, I believe it ought to throw this entire congregation into desperation, that we have played long enough, we have went to church long enough, we got to do something. How is it that we can see other great signs and wonders done on others, and what about us? It should cause an estate of desperation that we are determined before God. The signs of his coming should bring this entire congregation, when we have read it from the word, the Holy Spirit has told us, God at a certain place, short and short as a thing will happen. Not tell us what it was, but it would happen. We go there, it happens that way. The newspaper packet, the magazine packet, show the picture of it. Come back here and see those great mysteries hidden in the Bible open up to us on a new field that we never know before, and perfectly blends into the coming of the Lord Jesus. Then, at the end of the messages or the preaching, see the action of the great Holy Spirit. See him come down visible before people. He will take picture of it. See it walking and showing that he's not a man. He's not just a preacher. He's not a certain congregation. It's the Holy Spirit showing the same thing he did when it was embodied in the body of Jesus Christ. Now is embodied in the body of his bride. It should throw us into desperation. Those people had seen the hand of God. And that night of the communion, they took it with in desperation, because they know that something was fixing to happen. And we know something is fixing to happen. And remember, the coming of the Lord will be a sudden secret going away. He will come and take her like a thief in the night. And to think that if somebody, all of a sudden, there are members of our family gone and we are left behind, it should throw us into desperation. That by the grace of God, we will not be left back behind. If there is anything I don't want, don't leave me, Lord. A few days ago, I was hearing Mel Johnson sing that song, Remember Me When Tears Are Falling Down. Yes, remember me when friends are not around. And when I cross over this river of Jordan, when you are calling the roll, remember me. And on the last book of life, I want my name wrote. I want him to remember me when the roll is called. And he throws me into desperation. That is, like Paul said, after I have preached the gospel, shall I be a strollaway? Shall I be a cast off? It could happen. So he throws me into a desperate stage, desperation, to think of, after all these years of preaching, a place come where I could fail him. What's the next move? What must I do next? And it throws me into a nervous stage. And what can I do? It throws me to the mountains and to the valleys. And it's hard because when I'm with the people, I've got to be all things to all men, that I might win some to Christ. Yet, with that token always before me. See? And I see things that's coming up, and you can't tell the people. You see different things, and you are forbidding the ambitions that they call on, and sometimes they'll be sorry if you did tell them. And you know better than to do it. And then you go so far in vision till everything becomes a vision, and it throws you into a nervous stage. You look at now. Am I in a vision? Like sitting right here, is this a vision? Where am I really standing at? See, you overwork yourself. You overtax yourself. And you find out things that people that you, and you find out things about people that you wish you don't know. The people that desire these things, to know these things, they don't realize what that type of ministry costs. You don't know what goes with it. Then it throws into desperation. Lord God, I know I'm going to have to answer. Jack Moore said to me one time, he said, I hate to have to answer like you will have to. At the day of judgment, said, God has put these people into your hands, and you are going to give an account for every one of them. You are going to answer for your ministry. That's been about 15 years ago, or maybe 18. And since then, I've been in desperation. What will I do? Let me say only what you say, Lord. Let me tell them what's the truth, or don't say nothing. It throws me in desperation. They see these signs coming, seeing the Holy Spirit take us out there and bring these sails, lay them in like that, bring the church ages and lay them in. Then come down in a great big pillar of fire back there and revealed himself. Then comes down on the next thing, on the seven seals, and revealed it. He will put it in the papers and magazines. Then come in and take the angels of God, them seven angels with seven messages, and confirm it exactly what the Bible said. Then during that time, comes up and bring in those seals, those signs, flashes of the end time, and bring it up to the people and tell them what it is and all about it. And the Lord walking right there, showing himself present, and then right down like this morning, come up and require that token on every person. Then you are my people, the ones that I love, those and them listening to the tapes and so forth. Then you see what desperation it puts me in. Desperation. Signs of his coming should throw every member of Christ into desperation now. About our souls. About our welfare for hereafter. Where what are we going to amount to if we gain the whole world? What are we? What are we living for? What do you work for? What are you hitting for? What are you struggling for? To live? What are you living for? To die? And you are not fit to live until you are fit to die. is true. And we see so many miracles of healing. It should put us into desperation. If that little boy, am I looking at Mrs. Peckinpah now? Is that Mrs. Peckinpah? Are you the one that had the boy here, something or another? Remember on Wednesday, we read about this sister that had a boy that God created a new loss of him. New set of lungs. Praise the Lord. Brabram saw the sister in the audience. That's what he's referring to. Are you the one that had the boy here, something or another? Why? Here is the woman sitting right here I was talking about. I just happened to look over and see her. Now, if God can do that for that little boy, it ought to throw you into desperation. A man from New Albany, he may be here tonight. He's a friend of my brother Robinson. Had a little boy here. I think his wife had cancer once and was healed. And now the little boy has got asthma so bad he is just in bad shape. Little fellow, almost cancered throat himself. And then he brought the little boy. Yeah, I see his hand up in the back there. Was prayed for this morning, you see. Desperation. When the wife was about to die with cancer, he knew that God could heal her. And if God could heal the wife, God can heal the boy. And he threw it into a state of desperation. See, you must come. And when you are desperate, then God is going to listen to you. But if you are just slothful, you don't care whether he does or not, well then, that's different. You say you do, but it takes desperation to do it. I believe that the reason we don't have desperation is because it's a lack of love. God, the love of God. I think that the love of God causes desperation. If God is in you, the token inside of you, and you see the condition of times and people waiting in sin the way they are, it will throw you into desperation. I believe it will. Are we following? If we are sleeping now, where? Now, the word plainly states, if you want to put this down in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith worketh by love. See? Faith worketh by love. And the only way that you can find faith is have love first. Because, after all, faith is love's incentive. Incentive, that is exactly what faith is. Is an incentive to love. Now you, if you don't have love, you can't have faith. See, how can you have faith in your wife if you don't love her? That is infilial. Now, all about in agape to God. How can it be if you don't love God? If you said you love your wife, I think Pastor said this in the morning. If you say you love your wife and never tell her about it, and never sit down and make love to her, express it to her, kiss her, hug her, and tell her she's the best cook in the country, all the things that you know, and how pretty she is, and how much you love her, if you don't do that, she will never know it. Let me read that again. Let me read that again. Yes, I will read it again. If you say you love your wife and never tell her about it, and never sit down and make love to her, express it to her. How do you express it? Kiss her, hug her, tell her she's the best cook in the country, all the things that you know, and how pretty she is. Was she not pretty? I said I won't pack comment. See how pretty she is and how much you love her. If you don't do that, he will never know it. How will she know it? You didn't tell her now. She will never know it. That's the way. If you do love her, you express it. Is that a godly admonition? Brothers, is that a godly admonition? Okay. That's the way we do to God. When we love him, we tell him about it. We sit down and we adore him and worship him. And see, love drives us to that. Now, what if something has got to be done for your wife? Why? It will throw you into desperation to get it done. What if somebody say your wife got cancer? What if somebody say your wife has got TB and she's facing to die? Yet you will do anything. See, it will throw you into desperation. And that's the same thing that it is. We must have love before faith. When we have genuine love, what does it do? It pushes out faith out on the battlefront for God. See, genuine godly love for God and for his word and for his people. We push faith out there. Love just takes a hold of faith. And just come on, let's go. And how it goes, because that's what love does. John 14:23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Now you don't keep his word without having faith in what he said. So you see, if he loves God, then he keeps God's word. If he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, he believes that. Love make him believe it, because love dominate all. Though I speak with tongues of man and angel and have not love, is nothing. See, though I have faith to move mountain, I have and have not love, is nothing. Love dominates all, because God is love, a God of love. Now, yes, sir. If Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. We know it is true that God will meet a desperate soul. We know it is true that God will meet a desperate soul. Now, we all know that. But it usually takes something to drive us into that. To that desperation. It takes something to do it. We find out in James 5:15 what the Bible said, that the effectual perfect, that's desperation. Effectual perfect prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When a righteous man, a good man, gets in travail, or so travail, a soul gets in desperation, in travailing, and a virtual fervent prayer of a man that can show the token, it does something. Notice what the Bible said here also in James 5:16. Confessing our faults, get right, make it ready for it. Confess our faults one to another. Ask people to pray for you, confessing your fault one to another, and pray one for the other. There you are. With love, love that I got confidence, I can confess to you my wrong, and you can confess to me your wrong. And I love you well enough that I will pray for you, and you pray for me. And we will stay there, and we will stay with it, with effectual fervent prayer until is answered. That's desperation. That's what we should have all the time. Let's take some scriptural example of that. What happened now? For What happened? Now for another about 15 minutes, the Lord's willing. The first example, Jacob, he was a man. He was first a kind of a carefree boy. He thought in his own mind that he knew that the birthright meant everything to him. And he didn't care how he had to get it, just so he got it. And after he got it, he thought everything was all right because he had the birthright. He thought the things were settled. He came up to his brother when he was hungry, coming in from the field, from walking with the cattle or hunting the deer. And his brother, he needed a big pot of pottage. Why pee and things together might have been very tempting when a man is hungry. After walking all this, and his brother said, I'm just about ready to faint. Give me some of this. And he said, well, if you swear to me, I get the birthright. See, he didn't care how he done it, just so he got it. And he thought when he got the birthright, that settled it. Pentecost, there is where you failed. You thought because you were born of the Spirit of God, the birthright that settled it, but it only starts it. You remember in the message of Hear Ye Him, how that the child, after it was born in the family, becomes a son. It had right to the birthright, but it had to be proven, child trained. And then, if he did not prove how to be an obedient child to the father's will, then it must be well, he did not get or become here. It heard nothing, yet it was a son. But he heard nothing if he wasn't interested in the father's work. And so when the Holy Spirit fell upon the Pentecostal people and they began to restore back the gifts and things that was in the church, they thought because they were born of the Spirit, that settled it. But you see, there is a placing of a son. And after this son proved to be a reason, then he was taken in a public place and then was set up and changed robes and set up there, and then there was a placing of the son that he had here of everything the father had. God did the same thing by his son on Mount Transfiguration. He was overshadowed or a cloud and was transfigured, and his raiment shined like the sun, and a voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Moses and the Lord had failed, and this is him, hear ye him. He was placed. See, now Jacob thought because that he had the birthright that everything was made. So did the Pentecostal people, and they begin to organize the oneness, the threeness, the Trinitarians, and all kinds of organizations, and fusing and pulling at one another, prove that the token wasn't showing. Malice, envy, strife, see, but that is where it got to. Now, see, Jacob thought the same thing, but in fear one night of his own life, desperation took a hold of him when he thought that just across the river yonder, my brother is waiting to kill me. He is going to see the birthright that he had gotten was the thing that was going to cause his death. Okay, we still have time. And sometimes that very thing that you receive as the Holy Ghost, it is an born again of the Spirit. If you don't watch, that same thing will condemn you at the end. That's right. The very, I don't know whether I've said this. That's right. The very water that saved Noah condemned the world. The tea that you will call fanaticism might be the very tea that condemns you at the end of the road. Now, Jacob, know that his life was close at the end. He had a messenger come told him that his brother with 400 hammed was coming to meet him. Know he was on his road. Fear took a hold of him. He sent men on ahead with ox and cattle and sheep to meet to make a peace offering with Esau. Then after that, he started another group with another load of stuff. Then he started another group with another load of stuff, trying to meet him first to try to turn his wrath. Then he got to thinking, that won't stop him because he is probably richer than I am. He didn't need it. Then he took his wife and his little children and sent them across, that Esau will see them, little children and his wives, and surely on his own little nieces and nephews he will not slay them. Then he couldn't do it. God knows how to get a man. Jacob crossed the brook. There he got down on his knees. You know, he had kind of been kind of a little shyster about before that, excuse the expression, but kind of he was Jacob. Jacob means a deceiver, and that's what he was. But there is something had to happen to him there in desperation. There, when death laid before him, there may be men and women sitting here tonight that death lays right before you, and the only way that you will ever be able to achieve the thing that you are wanting is to desperately come. I must have it tonight. I got it now, or I am finished. Tomorrow is too late. I must have it now. When you pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, don't say, well, now I will go up and try. Lord, I am a little tired. Oh, mercy. Stay in your seat. Don't even make an attempt. If you come, say, I will pass through the prayer line. Put the oil on my head. I will see if it does me any good. Might as well sit there. You set where you are at. Until you get to that place, until the whole church gets to a place that is between death and life, you've got to have it now or perish. Then God will move on the scene. It takes desperation to bring God on the scene. Jacob cried like never before. Desperately, he called until he got a hold of God. And when he did, he wrestled, not for 15 minutes, he wrestled to keep him in his soul all night long. And still, he knew he didn't have the blessing, and he was able to hold on until the blessing came. He wrestled desperately until the blessing came. Then and when, until God came on the scene. And then in desperation, I will not let you go. When he began to feel the blessing come down on him. A lot of people say, glory to God, I got it now. Dear, you are deceived. Yeah. Somebody say, oh, I just feel so good, but Abraham, I went down there and prayed. Oh, shiver run over me. And that might have been God. I saw a great light before me. That still might have been God. But that aren't what I'm talking about. The Bible says, In Hebrew, the 6th chapter, the rain falleth on the just and the unjust, just the same. Now you take wheat and and put them in the field, and the rain is actually sent for the wheat and not the wheat. But the rain falls on the wheat the same as it does the wheat, and the rain and the wheat is just as happy about the rain as the wheat is, and is the very same rain. The very Holy Ghost can fall upon an unbeliever and make him act just exactly the same way a believer acts. But by their fruit, they are known. That's what I'm speaking. That's the talking. And Jacob, rather, in desperation, he said, I know I feel you. You are here with me, but I'm not going to let you go. Somebody sees it fine. Somebody sees it fine. The first little sensation, they got up and jumped up and down. Run up the high school, say, I got it. I got it. I got it. Oh, no. No. Jacob stayed there until something happened that made him walk different. Jacob stayed there until something happened. And after that, he did what? He walked differently. That is why Brother Bram said, how were you before the talking? How are you after the talking? Because something must happen. Something different must happen. May God help us. Jacob stayed there until something happened that made him walk different. Made him a different person. Because that he stayed until that happened. And he was able, the Bible says, he heard until he prevailed. How can a man prevail over God? But you can do it. You can do it. A man can prevail over God. One time there was a man named Ezekiah. He had been told by the prophet, thus saith the Lord, you are going to die. Ezekiah turned his face to the wall, and in desperation he wept out, Lord, consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart, and I need 15 more years. After God had told him that something was going to happen, he was going to die. And in desperation, he changed the program of God. Desperation. Though he wept bitterly in desperation. Jacob stayed there until the blessing came and changed his name from a deceiver to a prince with God. Even the nation was called by his name. Yes, sir. What was it? The result was because he got desperate about the thing. And the next day, when he met Esau, he didn't need any guard. He walked right out and met him. See why? He had got still in desperation till he got the assurance. Oh, may God help us. And you got desperate until you get the assurance. If you don't even come to be prayed for. Don't even come to go at the altar. Weighty is between life and death to you, there is something will happen. Certainly, desperation. Second example. Maybe we'll stop there. Ruth got desperate one time when he was standing by Naomi. Will she have to go back to her people, to all that she loved and all that she worshipped, her gods and her people, or will she cleave to Naomi? What must she do? And she got in desperation and she cried out, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. And your God shall be my God. There you have desperation. May I say just this one thing? She never knew what would have happened to her in her going, but she determined, wherever you die, I will die. It's a clear-cut decision of Abraham said. Okay, let me continue. And your God shall be my God. There you have their spirit. God blessed her, gave her a son, Obed. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot come Jesus, because desperation of a woman. Another one now. Like the little Rahab, she was desperate. She knew that death lay before her. She was under judgment, and she got desperate, said, I will hide you spies. I will do anything. Only swear to your God, and my house will stand. There you are. He said, if you will take this token, it will. We still, Brabra, just mentioned it this once. Okay, let's continue. We are still time. Eliezer got desperate. When responsibility was placed upon him to hunt a bride for Isaac, Eliezer of Damascus was a great man. He was favored by Abraham, and he was trusted by Abraham to go out and hunt a bride, a right type of a bride, for his son Isaac. Through that will bring forth Christ. Now Eliezer, being a spiritual man, know what it meant. The right kind of a woman had to be that man's wife. And how would he choose it? In the hour of his desperation, when he arrived at the city, he prayed and said, Lord God. That's the thing. When you get desperate, go to praying. Lord God, let the first maid that come forth and water the camels and give me a drink be that. He prayed in the hour of his desperation. Rebecca, the beautiful maid, came, water the camel, and then he said, don't delay me in my way. She had to come to a time of decision whether she will go. She was a type of the bride. Will she go and marry a man who she has never even seen? Now, that's a great thing. Never even seen him. Yet, she had only heard by a servant. That's a type of the bride. You have never seen Christ, but you heard by a servant what he is. You sell out everything, leave your homes, everything else it takes to go to find him. Now notice, and she made the decision, a type of the bride, left her denominational homes, see, to go. Jonah thrown overboard in the time of a storm, in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the whale. All hope of survival was gone, but it happened to come on his mind that Solomon, in dedicating the temple, said, Lord, if the people be in trouble anywhere, and they will turn toward this temple and pray, then hear. And turning over in the belly of the whale, managed to get somewhere to his knees. And imagine, with the vomit of the whale all over him. There he prayed in desperation. And in that desperate, just a few breaths of oxygen, is all he had in the waste belly. And in the few breaths that he was drawing, maybe he didn't know which way it was, and said, Lord, I believe I'm looking upward toward your temple. And with just a few breaths to go, in desperation, prayed under those circumstances. Never been done before, but he was desperate. He prayed, and God kept him alive for 3 days and nights, and delivered him at the place to deliver his message. Desperation. Maybe lastly now. Anna, a barren woman. In the Bible, she wanted a son, and she got to fasting for him. And she fasted and prayed until even the priest at the temple thought she was drunk. She was in such desperation with the rest of the women watching the kind of a bonnet the other one had worn, and you know how it goes. And the other one seeing what kind of a cloth they had on and talking about the things going on the farm. But not Anna. She stepped right through the whole crowd and went to the altar. She had been fasting. She wanted her reproach taken away. What a difference it is today. It is almost a reproach to have a child. Then it was a reproach not to have one. And she got on her knees, and she never noticed the dignity of the temple. She never noticed the dignified priest as he walked out. She was in such distress till her tears were rolling down her cheeks, and she was crying in desperation. Oh Lord God, give me a son. Give me a son. And noticed she wasn't selfish, and God heard her and answered her prayer and gave her a son. She gave him back to God. And because that she was willing not to be selfish about me, selfish after God has answered her prayer, he gave her a prophet. Oh, that was an extra blessing. Oh, he is just full of them. Those little extra things that he gives. Not only a son, but a prophet. And there had been no open vision for many, many years in Israel. Samuel, the first prophet for many, many years, because a mother got desperate that she could have no children, and she was past the age of bearing, probably 60, 70 years old, and she prayed with desperation. She must have this child. What was it? God had spoke to her, no doubt. You see, you can't be desperate till God speak to you. Oh, church, rise and shake yourself. Pitch your conscience. Wake yourself up. In this hour, we must be desperate or perish. There is coming for something from the Lord. I know it. As doth say the Lord, there is coming forth something, and we better get desperate. It's between life and death. It will pass through us, and we won't see it. Praise the Lord. Let's stop there. It will pass through us. May it not pass through us, and we won't see it. One thing I'm certain, brethren, I'm sure, let me just say this and close. One thing I'm very, very certain and sure about is this. God is working on his people. God is working on his people. God is saving souls. God is changing lives. But if God is changing lives, what about me? Let's bow down our heads. We might think nothing is happening. We might think all seems, the church seems to be cool. We might think so, but we are, that is not true. That is certainly not true. God is working on his people. This word of God is changing life. There is no doubt about that. Whether we like it or not, this word is still changing lives. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything make you to think that the rapture is still far ahead. May God help us. May it not happen and we will miss it. May God help us. Last Wednesday, we read that Brother Brown said, when the Bible says the mountain is keeping and there are clambing hands, it was just that prophet that was not performing any miracle that God was doing that to. John the Baptist. Yet they might think that nothing was happening then, but God was fulfilling his word and was doing what he promised to do in the midst of his people. So don't let us think that nothing is happening. Don't be distracted. Don't let anything cause you to think that nothing is happening in the midst of God's children. Some things are certainly happening. God is changing life. God is mending life. God is giving rapturing faith to his own. May God help us. We pray as God has led you to pray this evening. If God has led you to sleep, sleep on. And of course, I know God will not lead you to sleep in this kind of atmosphere. Thank you. If you want to be remembered in prayer, while his servant will pray for us once again this evening, why don't you raise up your hand to the Lord that his servant will pray for us? God bless you, sir.
Shall we pray? I bless the Heavenly Father. We are so grateful to thee, O God, for the age we are living in. Your prophet said, if at the beginning he had a say so, and the Lord asked him a question, when do you intend to go to the world and preach? He said, though he would have loved to come at the time when Christ came, he said, but he would have preferred this time, which is the evening time where Christ is coming to receive those that he has saved. Lord Jesus, we all remember that that is the last prophet messenger that is promised. Is the seventh angel messenger to the seventh age. Lord, we are living in such a time. Master, with the signs and the wonders that we saw in the ministry of the Son of Man incarnated into his own ministry, the designing of the thoughts of the heart. Your prophet told us that when the Pharisees were calling Jesus Beelzebub, he said they didn't say it out. They were saying it within themselves, but Jesus designed their thoughts. We have seen that ministry perfectly demonstrated before us at this end time. Our Master, in whichever way we look at, we know that we are living in the last days. Lord Jesus, we are praying and asking. Please, Master, do not pass any of us by. Whatsoever might be our needs that make us to raise our hands, you are God that answers prayers. Definitely, you would have made us to know these things that we know if we were not partakers of it. Help us, Lord. This request that is beneath the hands that are lifted up might be physical needs, might be material needs, might be financial needs, might be spiritual needs. Whatever needs it is, thou who knowest all things, meet everyone at the point of their needs. Turn this prayer, Lord, to a testimony in the lives of each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. The prophet said, until God speaks to us, we cannot be desperate. Father, speak to us, Lord. We believe you have been speaking to us even through the preachings of your word. Speak to us, O God. Speak to us in such a way that we know it's you speaking to us, that we might be desperate, Lord. Thank you, our Father. We leave the entire day in your hands. We appreciate you. Since morning we have gathered, we'll be fellowshipping around this message. Father, all the blessings that we have accumulated today, the doctrines you have taught us, reminded us of, the rebuke, the correction, the instructions, Lord Jesus, the accumulation of rapturing faith that you have given to each individual, may they be permanent, oh Father. So we believe in the auditorium and all your presence. May your presence accompany each and every one of us to our homes. Our desperation, let it not end here. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtues that left him. We leave the entire week in your hands. We pray for students. We pray for workers. We pray for businessmen and women. We pray for those who will travel from one place to the other. May your unfailing presence, may your goodness accompany all your children. to their respective places, and the purpose of such journeys be accomplished in righteousness, Lord. Thank you, Father. If it be pleasing unto you, we sit here by Wednesday. Gather us, O God, for the midweek meeting. Lord Jesus, our money, devotion at home, at the evening, may we never put a stop, Lord. May they constantly be a blessing to us. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. We pray, O God, for our young ones, because of the spirit that is moving among the young ones. Lord Jesus, to get rich quickly, to the extent some have to go to Babalawo to prescribe, bury your mother alive, to make this your request come to pass. Oh, Master, may our children never be involved in these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Take us home safely. Those who will trek home, those who will take public transport, those who will ride private vehicle, may your protection be upon us. Father, we don't want to be forgetful hearers. The things that we have heard today, may we continue to meditate upon it until we meet here again on Wednesday. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you, church. Yeah, I was reminded of something that escaped me in the morning. Well, it's often happens to me that if I'm going to preach, I so much set my heart in. I do forget a lot of things. Please bear with me. Was it intentional? It just, we wanted to inform the church about the passing away of the father of Sister Ruth, of that is the wife of Brother Joseph Oyedepo, in Ijebu Ode during the week. I ought to have informed you in the morning, but it escaped my mind. And there is also coming a wedding in Abeokuta, the daughter of Pastor Osho. He has said the invitation, and we will make the invitation available as soon as possible. We try to place it on the board. Praise be to God. God bless you, and God bless me. Amen and amen. You see, where we shall meet on the other side, it will be so glorious. We will not remember all the toils and the troubles and the pains and the disappointments and the failures and the trials and the temptations and the hardship that we went through when we were here. We all forget it. A sister said, I feel like I'm breathing you. I said, wait for a little while. When we cross to the other side, the prophet told us, there'll be no cessation. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. I say, God bless you. Shall we rise on our feet? Pass me not to gentle Savior. Let's say.